All right, Tabosai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Mem Beis. We are going to pick up Emirat Hashem on Mem Aleph Amud Beis 41b. And we are leaving. Thank you very much. And we're picking up actually with Darim Chiyah Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. It's Drich. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 lines up from the bottom. Last word on line. So remember again, we're trying to derive the concept of shlichos, of agency, of shlucho shel adam kimoso. And remember, so far we've seen three different sources for this halacha. We've seen on one hand, Gittin and Kiddushin. I'm linking them together because the Gemara learned them out one from the other. We've seen Truma. And now we've also seen Karban Pesach. So, of course, the shaila that the Gemara is trying to deal with is at the end of the day to try to understand whether or not you actually need all three of these teachings, all three of these sources, or whether or not technically one could go ahead and learn out, let's say, one from the other, or two from the other, to which the Gemara says, Itztirich, Sakadait Chanina Eved Alav Baraterehu Klau. Aval Ovid Kochavim Hov Ise Bitruma Dinafshi. So remember again, the Gemara is talking about why I need the exclusion by Truma. So I would have said, I understand why an Eved ultimately again cannot go ahead and separate out Truma, for the same way that he can't go ahead and be a Shaliach for a get, because these halachos don't apply to him at all. However, an Ovid Kochavim, since Ovid Kochavim is Shaykh and Truma, this nan, where do we know that Ovid Kochavim is Shaykh and Truma? Ha Ovid Kochavim ba'akusi shetarmu Trumas and Truma. If a non-Jew or a kusi go ahead and separate out Truma, their Truma is, in fact, a valid Truma. Now, Bose Rashi points out over here that this is quite amazing. This has to do with the fact that this opinion paskins in Kinyan la Ovid Kochavim ba'aretz Yisrael, that a non-Jew cannot actually acquire land in Israel, which means that even if a non-Jew owns land in Israel, the kedusha of the land does not diminish in any way. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, if a non-Jew goes ahead and separates out trumas and maestros, technically speaking, this separation will in fact work. So the Gemara says, Ema shaliach nami ovid sa'amen atah, because ultimately, technically speaking, ovid kochavim could go ahead and separate out trumas and maestros, then he should also be able to go ahead and be appointed as a shaliach. Therefore, kamashman, that is not the case. Or Reb Shimon the Potter, and according to Reb Shimon who says that your Potter, meaning on earth, according to Reb Shimon who says that a Ovid Kochavim who separates out Shumas and Maestros, such a separation is in fact not valid. So the Gemara says, Disnan, Shumas Ovid Kochavim Midamas, because we learned again the Truma of an Ovid Kochavim creates. Midama'as means that if it gets mixed in with other things, then lemaisa again, it can go ahead and cause the entire mixture to become invalidated. V'chayavan alei chomesh, and if you inadvertently eat it, you have to repay the principal plus a fifth. V'Reb Shimon Potter, Reb Shimon says that you're potter for this. So we'll say, so atem gam atem lamali. So what does Reb Shimon do with the phrase of gam atem? Itzrich sagadait chamin ho'el v'omer mar. Atem v'lo arisim, atem v'lo shutfim, atem v'lo apetropus, atem v'lo atar m'shein lo shalom. So I'm going to thought the following. Since we said that I could separate out trumas and maestros, but my artist, my sharecropper cannot separate out my truma for me, or partners cannot separate out for one another, or an apetropus cannot go out. Apotropus, remember, is like is an executor. An executor can't separate out trumas and maestros. And someone cannot go ahead and separate out truma from produce that is not theirs. Ima atem velo shluchachem. I'm out of thought, therefore, atem also means you and not your agents. In other words, that maybe there's no din of shlichos. Ultimately, again, by truma, to which the Gemara says, kamash malon, that's not the case. Kamash malon, there is shlichos, ultimately, by truma. So this makes sense according to Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. But according to Rabbi Yonason, he uses this pasuk for a different drasha. What is there to say? Disanya Rabbi Yonason Omer, Minayin Shekol Yisrael. Well, it's amazing. This is in Yana Di Yoma. Minayin Shekol Yisrael Kulan Yotzim BePesach Echa Top of Membeis. Amazing. Karban Pesach. How do we know that all of Klal Yisrael could be Yotze with one Karban Pesach? Now, the novelty, of course, of this is, take a look at the top Rashi. The Pesach Echad, Membeis Mud Aleph. Even though there is not a kezayis on the, there is not a kezayis for every person. In other words, how do I know that all of Klal Yisrael can be able to with one Korban Pesach, even though there's not a kezayis of meat for every single individual. The kasavar achilas psachim lo ma'akva el ezrikas tanuchud rabo. So this particular opinion holds that when it comes to Korban Pesach, it's not the consumption of the carbon that is the ikur. Rather, what it is, the sprinkling of the blood. So that technically speaking, you could have all of Klal Yisrael yotze with one Korban Pesach. How do I know that? Shneemar v'shachatu also kol kahal adasra bin ha'arbaim, because the pasuk says that all of Klal Yisrael will shech the Korban Pesach bin ha'arbaim. Now, is that true that all of Klal Yisrael shechs the Korban Pesach? Of course not. But rather, we know that it's only one person. And I'm supposed to remember again, if you go with the approach that all of Klal Yisrael could be also with one Korban Pesach, not all of Klal Yisrael is shechted in the Korban Pesach. There's one person who shechted in the Korban Pesach, and yet what? And yet what? Ella, we can't shekol Yisrael yotzei in Pesach echad. So we'll say, but here, what do you see from here? You see from the fact that it says all of Klal Yisrael shechs the Pesach, when in fact what? It's only one member of Klal Yisrael is actually shechted in the Korban Pesach, and he's acting as the shaliach on behalf of the rest of them. And from here, you see shlucho shel adam kimoso. Elamikan. So Rabbi Gemara says, Elamikan, Shekol Yisrael Yotze Besach Achad. So Shliach Bekadshim Minolei. So we'll say, so remember, what the Gemara is now suggesting is the following, that Rabbi Yonason says, now, let's go back for just one second. The Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha used this pasuk of Korban Pesach to teach us the concept of Shlichos. And he said, from here you see v'shachatu also kol kahal das Yisrael. From here you see that what? That shlucho shal adam kimoso, that a person's agent is like himself. How do you see that from this pasuk? Because remember, when it comes to Korban Pesach, I will say, one person is shechting on behalf of the chabura. So from here, from behalf of the group. So from here you see that one person could act as the agent of a group. Now, the Gemara is suggesting is Rabbi Yonason uses this pasuk to teach us a different halacha. What's a different halacha? That all of Klal Yisrael technically can be yotzei with one Korban Pesach. So if that's the case, asks the Gemara, Shliach Bekadshim Minolei. So according to Rabbi Yonason, who uses this pasuk for Shachatu Oso Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, that all of Klal Yisrael can be yotzei with one Korban Pesach. So where does he learn out the din of Shlichos by Korbanos? To which the Gemara says, Minei. You can still learn from the Sefer, even if you use this pasuk to teach you that all of Klal Yisrael can be yotzei with one Korban Pesach, you could still use this pasuk to teach you what? Shlucho shel adam kimoso. V'dilma shayni hasam, de'islei shutfus begavaihu. Maybe Korban Pesach is different. Why? Because the person shechting it is also a member of the chabura. So we'll say it makes sense that he can act on behalf of the other members of the chabura. Since why? Since he is a member of the chabura as well. Elamihacha, rather it's from here. V'yichu lahem ish sela beis avos sela bayis. Because the pasuk says, V'yichu lahem ish, every single person will take sela bayis, a set for the home, sela bayis, la beis avos sela bayis. They'll each take for their family, each take ultimately again for the home. So what else, so what do you see from there? You see from there that one person can go ahead and take it on behalf of the home. So from here you see shlichos by kachim. But therefore, why don't you say something over here that maybe this works? Why? Because a person has a ownership interest in the Korban Pesach. Im kain trei kroy lamali. If that's the case, why do I need two psukim to teach me the same thing? As well say, now I have essentially two psukim, both teaching me the same concept, namely that you could be a shaliach for something for which you have a vested interest in. Why do I need two psukim teaching the same thing? Therefore, what if I don't need it to teach me the stated idea, namely that a person could be a shaliach for a group when he has a vested interest in a group? Then use the extra pasuk to teach me another halacha, which is what, that shlichus works even when I do not have an ownership interest in the particular item for which I am the shaliach. To which the Gemara says, Haimi Barley Lechid Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, well, this is necessary according to Rabbi Yitzchak. The Am Rabbi Yitzchak Ish Zocha V'la Akatan Zocha. Oh, we'll say what this does teach. Rabbi Yitzchak says, this teaches us what? That an Ish could be Zocha. That ultimately, again, a man has the ability to acquire on behalf of the Chabura, and not the Katan. So we'll say this has Korban Pesach ramifications as well. What this means is that it must be an adult male who acquires the sheep on behalf of the Chabura, and it cannot be a child. To which the Gemara says, Kahu mi ish lefiachlo nafka. But we can learn that after the pasuk of ish lefiachlo ish. Ish dafka means a man and not a child. Va'akati mi boile d'shochtin es ha-pesach ala yochid. But yet we still need the pasuk to teach me that you can go ahead and shecht the Pesach even for an individual. But there's another interesting halacha that you can go ahead and the Gemara is suggesting that we need this pasuk of v'yichulahem ish selabais ha-o selabais to teach me that I can even shecht the Karan Pesach for one person. What's the novelty of that? Remember, the halacha is that you're really not supposed to leave over anything of the Karan Pesach. Let's say, just by the way, if you want to see something amazing, it's just an aside, there's an incredible article on Jerusalem Post about the Shomronim, the Samaritans. Mm-hmm. So they do their Karban Pesach still. They did it actually on Tuesday night. It's interesting. So what's fascinating about it is the article actually goes through the entire process, some of which is similar to the way we, in Eretz Hashem, will do the Karban Pesach as well. But it's just dramatic. But what, the reason I'm mentioning this is because one of the things they're makbid on is you have to be part of a chabura. You have to be part of a chabura. Why have to be part of a chabura? Because lemaisa, otherwise what's going to happen? There's going to be leftovers. It's just amazing. That's another aside. Everybody always wonders, you know, like, what's the cost of karbanos? Ever wonder about this? Because especially, you know, you accidentally flick a light switch on Shabbos. You have to bring a karban chatos. I say, how much does that cost you? Just, see, it's amazing. In Eretz Yisrael today, contemporary value of a shit, 1,600 shekel. $600, $400, right? $400, just an amazing idea, which is a bargain if you think about it for your Pesach meal, considering you're sharing that, you know, I think that's cheaper than accents, you know, that's for everyone. It's just an amazing idea. Anyway, it's interesting to see just how the way they're still doing certain things that were done on the Beis HaMikdash. Not even, says the Gemara. This price reflects the opinion that what? That we do not shecht the Karban Pesach for an individual. In other words, we both say, this is actually quite interesting. This is another machlokes in Pesachim. In other words, if let's say I'm by myself, so can I shecht the Karban Pesach or not, knowing that I'm going to have leftovers? So this is a fundamental machlokes in the Gemara. So we have Elah, the Amar of Gidl, Amar of Binay, Shlichus Shalukim also, Beit Rav Gidl, the name of Rav. From where do we know that a Shaliach is an extension of a person? Shene Emar, V'nosiachod, Nosiachod, Mimateh. So Boaz said, this is amazing. So Seifok Shlichus Mehacha. So Boaz said, you know where we can learn it out from? We can learn it out from the division of Eretz Yisrael. Because what does the Pasuk say? V'nosiachod, Nosiachod, Mimateh, Tichu Lincho Esaretz. Remember what ended up happening? A Nosi from each tribe went ahead and took possession of a part of Eretz Yisrael on behalf of the entire tribe. So essentially, the Nasi was acting as a shaliach. So let's learn out shlucho shel adam kiboso, that a person shaliach is an extension of himself from this particular pasuk. To which the Gemara says, "Vahak, that doesn't work. I'll tell you why." The disbra da shlichosu vaketanim lav ben shlichosino. But say, it can't be shlichos. You know why it can't be shlichos? Because at the end of the day, this Nasi was also supposed to be representing who? Was supposed to be representing Kitanim. And Kitanim, children, are not capable of appointing a shaliach. Well, remember again, in order to appoint a shaliach, you have to be a bardas. You have to have capacity. A katan does not have capacity. Therefore, when the Nasi was inheriting the piece of land on behalf of the Shevet, it couldn't be al shlichos, because a katan doesn't have the ability to appoint a shaliach. Elokiha d'rava baravuna. Tamrav baravuna, amrav, gidl, amrav, minayin shezachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. Rabbi say this is a different concept. This is not the concept. In Eretz Yisrael, when the Nasi went ahead and inherited the land, he was not inheriting the land als shlichos, but rather Rabbi Yossi was employing another mechanism called Zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. Zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav means that you are permitted to do something objectively beneficial for someone even without their knowledge, and this applies to kitanim, to minors also. Rabbi says these are two different things. Shlichos works when I appoint the shaliach. I, the principal, must go ahead and appoint the agent. Zochin is a process where even if I don't appoint anyone, but someone does something that is of objective benefit for me, lemaisa, again, they can do it. So therefore, the Gemara wants to suggest that Allah lemaisa, again, the idea that the Nasi inherited Eretz Yisrael on behalf of the Shevet was ultimately, again, a din in Zochin, not a din in Shlichos. So says the Gemara, Shnem av nasiach, nasiachot, v'tizbura, zuchosi. Now, is that true? Is that true? That going ahead and having the Nasi inherit a piece of Eretz Yisrael on behalf of the Shevet is a schos. Hachova namika. It could also be a chovah, it could also be detrimental. How could it be detrimental? It's Eretz Yisrael. How could anything be detrimental? To which the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you. De'ika de'nechalei b'har v'lo nechalei b'bika. V'ika de'nechalei b'bika v'lo nechalei b'har. Because we'll say, what could happen? The Nasi goes out and chooses a portion. And what could the Shevet say? Nasi, you chose for us a mountain. We wanted a valley. Or, of course, if he chose a valley, they could say, what? We wanted a mountain. So who's to say that what he's going to choose is going to be of objective benefit? To which the Gemara says, Ve'ela kidurava barafuna. Damarava barafuna. Amarav gidl amarav. Minayim yisom sheba lachlok b'nechsevi and sheviz amid la'am apotropis. Lachuv v'liskos. He'll say, how do we know that if there are orphans, minor orphans, and they came to divide up their father's estate, that Beis Din establishes for them an apotropos. Beis Din establishes for them an executor of the estate who has the ability to enter into agreements for them that are both beneficial and detrimental. Lochov, detrimental. Amai, el lochov amanas liskos. We'll say, rather, what does it mean? It means that, how do we know that when Beis Din appoints an apotropos, it's the apotropos' job to do the best, to do the best that he can to secure a favorable outcome for the Yisomim. But in the event that the outcome turns out not to be so favorable, how do we know that the apotropos' decisions still stand? Patamud lomar, v'nasiachad, nasiachad matetikachu. Both of this is amazing, because the Pasuk teaches us by the Nasi of Eretz Yisrael, that just like the Nasi of Eretz Yisrael, both say it could be that at the end of the day, that the Nasi of Yisachar doesn't actually get the best parcel of land for his Shevet. But because he was appointed by Moshe Rabbeinu to go ahead and acquire the parcel of land, what he's done is done. As long as he acted in good faith and did to the best of his ability, his decision stands. The Gemara learns out from here that the same halach applies by the executor of an estate. That when the executor tries his best to go ahead and do something for the Yisomim, that Lamaisa, that decision stands as long as he executed it in good faith. So that Yisomim will come to divide up their father's property. These are minors. Beis Din establishes for them an executor, and the executor chooses for each of them a good portion. And when they get older, if they want to complain and object to the division, they have the ability to do so. Rav Nachman, the day Rav Nachman himself said, "Im higdilu ein yichol limchos." Rav Nachman disagreed and said, "No." Shmuel said, "When they get older, they could disagree. They could challenge the split." Rav Nachman says they can't challenge the split. Why not? The im came ma koach beis din yafa. Because I'll say, if you allow them to challenge the split, then what good? What power does Beis Din have? To which the Gemara says, "Umi islay Rav Nachman imkei ma koach beis din yafa." Does Rav Nachman really subscribe to the idea of imkei ma koach beis din yafa? The Hatanan we learned shum hadayonin shepichesu shusus o siru shusus michran batal. Both say if judges evaluated a piece of property in order to go ahead and satisfy a debt, and they made a mistake with the valuation, they either undervalued it by a sixth or they overvalued it by a sixth. So Michron Batal, the sale of the property, is void. Shimon Gamliel Omer, Michron Kayim. Shimon Gamliel says, no, it's not true, that ultimately, again, the sale stands. Because Shimon Gamliel says, it has to stand. Why? Because if the transactions of Beis Din don't stand, then what good is the power of Beis Din? And yet you see Abba say that what? That Rav Nachman says that Allah was the Chachamim, namely what? That if Beis Din either went ahead and overvalued it or undervalued it by a sixth, that Beis Din's valuation is batal. So, and yet Rav Nachman says Allah was the Chachamim. So we just said before that Rav Nachman said Im kei makwach Beis Din yafa. But yet here we're seeing that he holds the transactions of Beis Din are voidable. Lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. On the base, hadutoh, hadulotoh. We'll say it depends. Sometimes Beis Din makes a mistake, or sometimes they don't make a mistake. Either lotoh, my yichon limchos, yichon limchos beruchos. So we'll listen to this. So meaning, if Beis Din made a mistake, then their decision is voidable. If, however, Beis Din did not make a mistake, but it turns out that the valuations changed, then lemaisa, again, the decision is not voidable. If the Gemara says, idlo tov ma'ichol limchos, but if they didn't make a mistake, then what grounds are there for objection? V'ichol limchos beruchos. Chazbos, let's say the Yisomim get older, and the Yisomim say, look, you know, the Apotropos chose for us a field in the south, we wanted a field in the north. So we'll say, so those are the kind of things that ultimately, again, they could object to, at least according to one opinion, when they get older. So we'll say, this topic, by the way, of the ability to void transactions of Beis Din is a fascinating discussion. So, on a very simple level, just for our purposes today, so if it's clear that Beis Din actually made a mistake, if they made a mistake, so under certain circumstances, their judgments are absolutely voidable. If, however, again, they did not make a mistake, but there's chiluk edeos, there's differences of opinion, in those type of situations, generally, their decisions are not voidable. Amar Rav Nachman, ha'achin shechalko harayin kilukuchos. So Rav Nachman said, if brothers divided up an estate, they're like purchasers. So we'll say, this is actually an interesting discussion. In general, that if they go ahead and if they divide up an estate, it's like they each purchase their respective portions from one another. Therefore, pachos mishusos nikne mekach. Yos sha'al shusos, batal mekach, shusos kana umachzer ono. Therefore, I both say, if it turns out that the division was not done equally, and what? And lemaisa, again, either the division is off, if division is off by a certain amount, if it's off by less than a sixth, if it's less than a sixth, then the division stands. More than a sixth, then ultimately, again, the transaction is void as well. A sixth, so the other brothers make the I'll call him, for lack of a better term, the cheated brother, whole by giving him either additional money or additional land. So the Gemara says, Amarava, Hada Amran Pachos, Mishasos Nikne Mekach, when we say that if the difference was less than a sixth, then ultimately, again, the transaction stands. Lo amron ela delo shagi shaliach. That's only in a case where the brothers did not appoint the shaliach to conduct the land division. Aval shagi shaliach. But if they went ahead and they appointed a shaliach to do this, then what? So we'll say then the whole division is void. Why? Because they could say to the shaliach, we appointed you to benefit us, not to create a detriment. Therefore, we'll say so these halachas in terms of the actual sixth, more than a sixth, less than a sixth, that applies when the brothers themselves are dividing it up. But when it was done through a shaliach, they have the ability to void the transaction as a whole by simply saying to the shaliach, this is not why we appointed you. So the Gemara, I'm sorry? It's an advantage, correct. And that's which we said, that if the division is off by more than a sixth, the entire division is void. This is only true when the brothers did not say, let's leave this up to the valuation of the Beis Din. But if they said, let's leave this up to the division of the Beis Din, then what Rabbo say? Then the sale, the division stands. In other words, Rabbo say that if the brothers say, we leave it to Beis Din to decide how to divide this up, and Beis Din does their job, and even if it turns out that later on, one of the brothers got more than a sixth less than the others, because they agreed to give this process over to Beis Din, the division stands. If, however, they're dividing this amongst themselves, and it turns out that there's an inequality, that, and if the inequality is more than a sixth, that's when the division is voidable. This man, Shuan Dan Shepech Sushasos, O Sirushasos, Mechran Batal. As we learned in the Mishnah, that if Dayanim evaluate the property, and then this is usually a case of, let's say, where they're selling off property in order to go ahead and satisfy a debt. So if they're off by more than a sixth, if they're undervalued by a sixth, more than a sixth, or overvalued by more than a sixth, Mechran Batal, the sale is void. Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mechran Kaim. Shimon Gamliel says, no, on the other hand, that no, the sale itself is still valid. And when we say that if the valuation was off by exactly a sixth, so the division stands, but the brothers who got more must give back to the brother who got a little bit less. Lo amran ella b'metaltali. That's only true movable property. Aval b'mikar kayalos is a very important halacha. Ein ono alekakos. But so this is a fascinating halacha in general, which is that the concept of ono, the concept of undercharging or overcharging, is a din of movable property. But in general, there's no din of ono by karka, by real estate. What's that? Why? It's fascinating. Why? Because, again, it's always been understood that real estate often does not have objective value. Real estate is almost always subjective value. Why? Because again, well, every frum Jew knows this. This is why we pay a lot more money, right, for our homes than anyone else, is because Lamaisa, again, having a particular location by definition represents a certain premium for me. So now again, on the market, on the open, so what about the open market? So the real estate market is driven by subjective needs. Therefore, the Gemara goes with the idea that Eino Na Bekarkos. Biluye. So we'll say, in the case where we talked about the brother's division of lands, so when we speak about lo amar el depalig yiluye, about palig b'mishchasa lo. So we'll say, when we said, look at Rashi, biluye, shlo chilkum b'cheva lito kol echa b'rabiyah, fe'ele helu medamim v'natal zeberah, kifidam v'zebiyah kifidamim. That's choser. So we'll say, so again, lemaisa, when they divided up the land according to value, that's when we say that lemaisa, if one of the brothers got more than a sixth or less than a sixth than the others, that we have to redivide the property. However, again, but if they divide up the land in measurement, we'll say, so if there's 3 acres, and each brother got an acre, but it turns out that 1 acre is worth a little bit more than the other acre, lo. Then we do not void that division. So we'll say, because Rabba said, any item that ultimately, again, right. I said just the opposite. When they divided up the land by value, that's when we say in ona bekarkos. But if they divided up the land by measurements, in other words, let's say Rabbi say every brother was supposed to get an acre of land, and it turns out that what? That one brother got 0.9 acres. So lemais again, we will force a redivision. Why? Says the Gemara. Why says the Gemara? Kidi Rabba. The Amar Rabba called davar shebemidah shemishkal. Any item that mita mishkabo, say any item that is measured, that is numbered, sheminyan, afilu pachos mikede ona namichozer. But it's actually a very important halacha. Anything that we're dealing with that is measured in objective units, weight or number, even if the differentiation is less than a sixth, lemaisa what, will still force a recalculation of the item. Why, Abosai? Because Rashi points out over here in general, you know, the concept of, if let's say I'm selling land, and it turns out that somebody underpaid by less than a sixth, there's an understanding that in certain transactions, that there's a certain forgivable amount, there's a certain margin of error. If I will say, if I'm buying a dozen eggs, and the seller gives me 11 eggs, so he doesn't say, well, you know, listen, it's less than a sixth, right? You know, so there's no such thing as meaning I'm buying a defined unit. So whenever you're buying a defined unit, then lemais again, the laws of ona don't apply. And any differentiation in the agreed upon amount versus the delivered amount has the ability to go ahead, not necessarily avoid the sale, but the seller has to give me what he owes me. So the Gemara says, I just want to point out, by the way, understand we're still in the sugya of shlichos, right? Meaning, so again, we got a little bit sidetracked over here with some of these real estate issues, but lamais, we're still trying to figure out of where do we know shlucho shal adam kimosa, from where do we know that a person's agent is an extension of himself. So rather, says the Gemara over here, says the Gemara, if someone sends a fire, let's say I give a torch to a chayrish, a deaf mute, a shot, to someone who's a saint, a katan, a child, so we'll say then what happens, the katan goes and burns down Reuven's house, right, or the shot goes and burns down Reuven's house, so what's the halacha? I, the one who gave the fire in the hand of the katan, I'm patur b'dinei adam. Beis din can't hold me liable for an act of damage because the ma'aseh I didn't myself do anything. However, chay b'dinei shemayim, but I am chayiv in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shilach b'yad pikeach. If I put the fire in the other hand, in the hand of a person who's totally normal, pikeach chayiv. So we'll say in the first case, obviously the shaliach, the katan shcheirish of the katan is also not going to be chayiv because they lack capacity. If I give the torch to a normal capable individual, then what? The normal capable individual is going to be chayiv, but I, the mishaleach, I, the sender, am not going to, principle, I'm not going to be chayiv. Am I? Name of shluchos shal adam kimoso. But why don't we say that a person shliach is like himself, and therefore what? When I give the torch to the pikeach, to the regular person, and he burns down Reuven's house on my behalf, Therefore, what? I should be chai because he's my shtech. He's an extension of me. To which the Gemara says, Shani Asam, the ain shtech l'dvar avera. Oh, because they all say this, because what do we say? There's no such thing as a shaliach to commit an aver. In other words, if the guy is a pikeach, he knows that it's wrong to go out and burn down someone's house. Therefore, when he does it of his own volition, and he can't claim he's following orders. He can't claim he's following orders, because did shaliach l'dvar aver, the aminon, because you say to the shaliach, divrei harav, divrei hatamim, mishomin. We'll say, again, if the principal tells you one thing, but the Ribono Shel Olam tells you another thing, so who should you listen to? So I'm telling Reuven, I'm telling Shimon, go take the torch, burn down Reuven's house. Shimon's a smart guy, he knows he can't destroy people's property, but he's saying, following orders? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, that's not an excuse. If you go ahead and you burn down the house, you, shaliach, are liable for the damage you caused, and you cannot blame your actions on the principal, on the mishaliach. That is anya, shliach shelo asa shlichuso, shliach mal, asa shlichuso, balabais mal. We'll say, but what about the following braisa? The halacha is the following. Let's say I have $100 in coins, and I did not realize that they're consecrated funds. I give them to my shaliach to go and buy me a pair of pants. It turns out he goes to the marketplace and he buys me a shirt. So what's the halacha saying? If the shaliach takes the money that I gave him, if the shaliach disobeys my orders, I told him to buy pants. He went and he bought me a shirt. Then the shaliach has committed an act of me'ilah. On the other hand, if the shaliach does what I asked him to do, namely, he buys a pair of pants, then what's the halacha? I am chayav meila. I, the mishalech, am chayav meila. I ask the Gemara, I don't understand. Ki asa shlichoso de baal, balabais, balabais, mi hamal, amai, neima, ein shliach ledvar avera. But we'll say that contradicts what we just said. So remember what we're saying over here. I gave the shaliach money thinking that it was regular money. It turns out that it was what? To hekdish money. So now, if the shaliach executes the command, as I told him, buys the pair of pants, I, the mishalech, the principal, am chayav meila. But why? We just said before what? There is no shtech for the commission of a sin. If that's the case, now again, this is all shogeng, but it's the shaliach who committed the inadvertent act of me'ila, not me. Shiny me'ila, the alpha, chet chet mitruma. So we'll say, here's the difference. There's a gzeir shava between me'ila and truma, of chet chet. Matruma, mashvi shaliach, af me'ila, mashvi shaliach. So we'll say, so again, the gzeir shava of chet chet from truma tells me that just as by truma I can go ahead and appoint a shaliach, so too again by me'ila I can appoint a shaliach as well. V'nelef minei. So we'll say, so why don't you say that we should learn out from here? V'nelef minei. We should learn out from me'ila. Look at Rashi. V'nelef minei. L'chol d'var aver d'yeshliach. What do we learn out from me'ila? That indeed there is a concept of yeshliach l'dvar avera. To which the Gemara says, Mishum da havi me'ilu shlichus yad shnei ksuvan abayin ke'echad. V'chol shnei ksuvan abayin ke'echad in melandin. So we'll say, because again, the idea of me'ila and shlichus yad, we'll say shlichus yad means misappropriation of a deposited item. Someone gives me something to hold on to, and I misappropriate it. That's called shlichus yad. So the Gemara suggests that shlichus yad and me'ila both teach me the same thing we're going to see, namely that what? That if you go ahead and, have a shaliach to do something wrong, in these particular two cases, the shlichus actually works. In other words, we're going to see, if I appoint a shaliach to go ahead and use consecrated funds, again, b'shogeg, and he does what I ask him, I, the mishalech, am responsible for me. Similarly, if I instruct someone to go ahead and take the deposited item for me, I, the mishalech, am going to be chayiv. We're going to see that. And therefore, again, these are shnei ksuvin abayin ke'echad. V'chol shnei ksuvin abayin ke'echad in melamdin. And I will say, any two psukim, ultimately, again, that come to teach me the same thing, meaning any two psukim, we've learned this before already, that teach me the same concept twice, we can't learn out a paradigm from those two things. So we'll just learn one more line. Mi'ila hada amran. So we'll say, so mi'ila, we went ahead and we spoke about already. Shlichos yad mahi. But what is the case of shlichos yad? So we're actually going to stop here for today. We'll stop here at shlichos yad. Emir Tashem Yisari sent out the email about the schedule, Emir Tashem over Yontiv, that shir for the first 2 days is going to be in the afternoon. You'll see the rest of the email for the rest of the discussion. I just want to share with you a brief thought on Yom Tov.